Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio City Council will hold a special meeting on Monday to vote on whether or not to put the Spurs Arena back on the November ballot. Monday is the deadline to order that vote. In a July 31st memo to her city council colleagues, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones called for a separate vote on the city's share of funding for the Spurs Arena, saying that since they pay twice, San Antonio voters deserve to vote twice. District 10 Councilmember Mark White joins us to discuss that coming up vote on that issue and other issues before the council, like a possible moratorium on data centers in San Antonio and CPS Energy and Greg Abbott's plan to try to privatize that. And Councilmember White, welcome back to The Source.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So do you think that we're going to try and work in as many sports metaphors as we can in this? So is Gina Ortiz-Jones, is this a flagrant foul? Is she out of bounds? What's happening here?
All of the above. Listen, I've said many times now over the past 2 weeks that the mayor has every right to oppose this plan. If she doesn't think basketball belongs in downtown, if she wants to do something different with the area, she could say she just doesn't like basketball. Whatever it is, the mayor has the right to oppose the plan. But what she cannot do, and we cannot stand for as a community, and certainly the rest of us that are elected on this city council, is we cannot stand for misinformation to be disseminated to the public purposefully. And that's what a lot of us feel like is going on here.
So isolate that for me. What is the misinformation? I really want to know.
Yeah. This $489 million that we're talking about cannot be used to close our budget deficit. It cannot be used for streets and sidewalks and drainage projects all across the city, like has been hinted at from the mayor's office. There is not a bucket of $489 million that's sitting there ready to be used for other purposes here in our city. That money is divided as follows. It's about 48% of state tax money that has to be used for this new arena, for the Alamo Dome or the Convention Center, or else this money goes back to the state of Texas. And then the other half, about 52%, is revenue that really is derived from the arena. In other words, it doesn't exist until the arena is put into place. And so the money's not there for these other things. This is how it has to be used. This is an economic development tool that the majority of city council feels like should be used in this manner. Again, not because of the basketball. And of course, we're all so excited that the Spurs do so well on the court. But for what this could mean for our community moving forward, the economic development, the revenue that it could bring into the city.
All right, let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or comment for Mark White. And let's go to Steve. And Steve, you're on the air.
Hi. Me and my wife have a business on Austin Highway in D10, Good Goods. And I just don't understand. This it is going to benefit downtown and the businesses they put downtown. And people have a finite amount of expendable funds. And they're going to go down and build it, and they're not going to spend it in D10. So if my councilman's not voting for me in D10, why shouldn't I get a vote?
Yeah.
All right. So, Steve, thank you for that. So what's your reaction to that?
So a couple of things, because I got that question a lot last fall. And you'll remember that last fall we had about a three-month debate as a community about this arena but before that November vote. And people said to me, hey, how does this benefit me? I don't go downtown. I don't go to the games. How does it benefit me? And the answer is this. The revenue that is going to be created by this project, if it's done properly, is going to be revenue that's going to benefit all of San Antonio. The revenue generated 5-10 years from now will be able to go into our general fund, will be able to be used for streets, sidewalks, and drainage projects all across the city. Additionally, people are going to get jobs. Jobs are going to be created by this project as well. So while you may not attend the games downtown, while your business may not be located downtown, this will have a positive impact on everybody in San Antonio if done is done right. In terms of the vote, you know, people say, Mark, well, why shouldn't we get to vote again? Well, look, we had that 3-month debate last fall, and that cost a lot of taxpayer time and money. There were upwards of 15, 20 town hall meetings all across the city. Presentations were made. People wanted to know how this arena was going to be funded, right? It's $500 million from the Spurs. It's $311 million from that visitor tax, right? People that stay in hotels or use rental cars. And then it's the $489 million that we just talked about. We discussed all of that as a community last fall, and the people voted so that the thought that we would spend another 3 months spending time and money to do that all over again, I just don't think makes sense.
So the vote on Monday at the special called city council meeting, you're going to be a no, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be a no. And I think we're going to have 6, 7, maybe even 8 votes that say no with me.
And what would you take from that? If it's going to be that lopsided, saying, no, Mayor Jones, we're not going to do that, does that mean something?
I think so. I think it means a couple of things. Let me first start because I heard the mayor on your show the other day, and she mentioned Portland and Oklahoma City. But I think she sort of missed the point on what I've been making regarding those cities. The Spurs are an unbelievable partner. Okay, if you look at Oklahoma City, that's going to be about a $1 billion arena. And the ownership group there is only putting in about $50 million for that arena. In Portland, they're going to do a $600 million renovation on their arena. The ownership group there has said they're not putting in one penny of their own money. Contrast that to here, where our Spurs are putting in $500 million for the arena, $1.4 billion on the guarantees for the development around the arena, $75 million in the community benefits agreement. We have an amazing partner here in our Spurs that want to invest in our community. And so I think when you see the vote on Monday, that's going to be part of the reason why you're going to see the 6, 7, 8 votes telling the mayor no. The other part of that is that, listen, we have talked about this now, this arena, for more than a year. Some people won, some people lost. Some people wanted it to move forward, some people didn't. But even those other council members that didn't want this project in the first place, even some of them now are saying, listen, the people have already spoken. Council has spoken. The time for the debate and all the division has passed. Now the time is to say, how do we make this project as good as we can for every San Antonio resident? It's time to look forward. That's what you're going to see on Monday.
If there were to be a vote, and I know there's, because of your vote and the other votes, it's probably going to be unlikely. But and do you think it would pass? And that's not the question?
Yeah, I absolutely think if this went back to the voters, it would pass again.
Even though it was such a narrow victory, you know, last November.
Yeah, because think about what's happened since last November to now, right? Obviously, our Spurs went on an amazing run and got to the finals, and the future's very bright. But you've seen the economic study from the revenue that was brought into this city from that playoff run, right? All of that revenue is going to benefit us as a city government in what the things we want to do in providing those core city services that everybody around the city wants. You know, continued success, not only is it fun to watch our team do so well on the national
stage.
And
represent the city.
Absolutely. It puts us on the world stage. But everybody
but they do it so that with the class and the discipline, that's so inspiring.
It is so inspiring because, again, this is not like every other organization. You know, this is an organization that believes in community, that has players and coaches that do things the right way. And again, their success brings notoriety and it brings money to the city. You see the budget deficit we've got right now. We need more revenue coming into this city so that we can provide top quality city services.
I'm going to get to a caller. Is that Amadeus? Amadeus, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Amadeo, hi. How you doing?
Amadeo.
The city is proposing up to $489 million in bonds for the Spurs arena, backed by arena rents, ground leases, TIRZ revenue, and project finance zone revenue. So my question is, if those revenue streams don't generate what the city is projecting, who ultimately carries the risk and pays for the debt?
Yeah, so
thank you, Amadeo.
Yeah, thanks for the question. The revenues that have been projected from those sources, this has been done very, very conservatively. Our city management, Ben Gorzel, all the finance folks over at the city have made very, very conservative projections as to what is going to be generated by those revenue sources. So I don't have any fear at all that somehow this is going to be dropped on the citizens of San Antonio. Additionally, we should mention that term sheet, and I was going to bring it today, but that term sheet that City Council approved last year specifically states that with regard to cost overruns, because that's something I hear a lot too, right? All this construction is going to be more expensive than you think. But the Spurs have guaranteed that all construction overruns in cost there, they are going to cover. So the city's in a good financial spot with respect to this project. But listen, I understand the skepticism by many in our community. You know, everybody was told when the Frost Bank Center, when it was put into place over on the east side a couple of decades ago, that there was going to be all this development, of course, that that has not taken place. But the difference this time, people should know, last time it was, hey, let's put the arena out there and let's hope. No, this time we have a plan. This time it's we're going to put the arena downtown. The Spurs are guaranteeing that development around the arena. Much, much better position to be in.
All right, we're taking another break. I'm going to get Cindy and John on the air with their questions. And you can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we'll pick back up with council member from District 10, Mark White, talking about the Spurs and the arena. Want to get to some of these other issues as well. Your thoughts about the governor's call to privatize the local energy market where CPS Energy has monopoly and more. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mark White, District 10 Council Member for the City of San Antonio, is with us, hearing about his views for funding of Project Marvel in the City of San Antonio and whether or not they will have a successful vote on Monday at a special election on whether or not to put the Spurs arena back on the November ballot. He is saying that is not going to pass. What say you? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, and let's go to Cindy. Cindy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, hello. I am expecting the opportunity to vote in November on this issue. There have been a lot of changes. A lot of things have gone by the way that put at risk the $235 PFZ dollars they expect to support this. Plus, I know, Councilman White, when you were talking about the money and how the Spurs were putting in so much, my understanding is that we were told that we were getting a much better deal than Oklahoma City. But for some reason, our arena costs, our NBA-approved arena costs about a half a billion more than Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City's put in is $850 million. Ours is going to be more, $860 million. The city taxpayers are on the hook for the land. Do you know of any city that is paying more for an NBA arena than San Antonio? I think we are being hit with the most expenses of any city in the nation, including Oklahoma City, a city half the size. Also, I don't think that city taxpayers understand that right after this November vote that we are entitled to, there's going to be another vote for up to $250 million in arena infrastructure that city staff proposed to put on the ballot last November, and you decided not to, probably because the Spurs were spending $8 million to say this whole thing was free, which it is very expensive, almost $800 million for the city itself.
Cindy, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that. And so, Councilmember White.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. The $800 million she's talking about is the $489 that we talked about earlier and where that comes from. The other $311 million was the county portion that everybody voted on last November. And again, to remind everybody, that $311 million is paid for by people that stay in hotels and use rental cars. All right. So that's why it was really called a visitor tax. And so I got to say this at this point, that the mayor has come up with the catchy phrase, right? Pay twice, vote twice. But in actuality, if you don't use rental cars here and you don't stay in a hotel and you're not a developer that's going to be there around the new arena, you're not paying at all. Now, number two, in terms of the cost of the arena, I can't sit here and pretend to tell you that I know all the costs and the expenses related to all the new arenas around the country. This one's going to be about $1.3 billion, which is a few hundred thousand dollars more expensive than the Oklahoma City arena.
You got inflation.
Yeah. I mean, why that is, I can't tell you. But I did want to add as well, from your previous caller, another guarantee the Spurs had made is any TERS shortfalls, the Spurs are covering those as well. So we're really in a good financial position there. Finally, the bond. She raises a really good point there because in addition to what we've been talking about in funding the arena, there is going to be the need for some infrastructure work there in between the Alamo Dome and the new arena. Now, if anybody's been to the Alamo Dome in the last year, it's a nightmare to get around there right now. So I would argue the infrastructure needs to be done regardless. But yes, there is going to be needed about $200 million that will be on the ballot probably next May when we talk about the 2027 bond and infrastructure. There is going to need to be some infrastructure work done down there in between the Alamo Dome and the new arena, and the voters are going to get a say on that next May.
John, go ahead. John, you're on The Source.
Yes, thank you, David. Mr. White, I appreciate your effort to answer the question, but I still don't quite comprehend why there is excessive risk in allowing the public to vote on this rather unprecedented investment. Could you just elaborate a moment?
Sure. Right, John, thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you for the call and the question. I wouldn't use the word risk because, again, I think if this went back to the voters would approve it again. But the thing is this. Number one, we had a three-month debate that cost taxpayer time and money last fall before we had a vote. So why we would do it again, I'm just not sure. Number two, people need to know, when we're talking about these revenue bonds, the city passes things all the time, right? When we go buy a new fleet of fire trucks, we need to issue bonds. CPS Energy, when we get new equipment for the plant or whatever it is, we did it, I don't know, in the last 8 or 9 months. That passes through council without a city vote. I mean, where would the line be on what we spend and when we take on debt, when it needs to go to the voters or not? So I would say that we are elected officials in this city. These are the types of decisions that we are there to make. And again, we discussed this for 3 months as a community last fall. I'm going to tell you, most of the people that I've spoken to in the last 2 weeks that have had this, you know, heard about it again, come up and say, Mark, haven't we already done this? Like, I went to a town hall at the Northeast Senior Center when we talked about it. Yesterday, I was at Chief McManus's farewell out in District 7. And I had a couple people out there say, hey, we were at listening sessions and meetings out here last fall, and then we went and voted on the arena. Why would we do it again? So it's not a matter of risk. It's just a matter of we had the discussion. It took time. It took money. And then the people spoke last November. Mm-hmm. And I think the majority of the community is satisfied with that.
Let me get you on some of these other issues. CPS Energy, Governor Greg Abbott in town saying that he wanted to see the local energy market privatized. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, really interesting. You know, I think the governor raises a lot of great points here. And in his press conference and some of the other materials that he put out, he talked about how there is so much wasteful spending that goes on in some of these cities, some of it that's aided by cities that have these utility monopolies like ours. And I've been on your show before in the last couple of years, and of course, nothing raises my blood pressure more than thinking about some of the wasteful spending that goes on here in San Antonio that I've been trying to eliminate. But in terms of the proposal, look, I have not looked at it word for word. I'll tell you, it's interesting to me. Anytime you can look at cutting out wasteful spending from a city. That interests me. However, as we all know here, CPS energy revenue, that 14% that comes to our general fund is such a huge part of what we can spend here to provide core city services to the public here in San Antonio as they expect. Public safety, critical infrastructure. The thought that we wouldn't have enough money to spend on those items certainly gives me great pause here when looking at the governor's proposal. So it's something that I think we need to look at and discuss more moving forward.
So when you say wasteful spending, the governor brought up Zumba classes. You think that the Parks and Recreation having Zumba classes is wasteful?
Yeah, I'm gonna admit to you that sort of put a smile on my face because that's something that I had brought up a year ago, right? The city spent $500,000 taxpayer dollars on Zumba and art classes in the park where not one San Antonio resident showed up. Additionally, we talked a couple of years ago during my first term about my colleagues wanting to spend $500,000 to send women out of state to receive abortion services with taxpayer funds, using taxpayer funds to do that.
That was a CPS Energy General Fund. Excessive revenue that they received.
That was from CPS Energy revenue that came into the general fund that my colleagues wanted to use to send women out of state to receive these abortion services. Again, that's not a proper use of city tax funds. And so those are the kind of things that the governor is pointing out when he talks about the wasteful spending. But again, be that as it may, for us here in San Antonio, the fact that we do get so much revenue, almost a quarter of our general fund budget comes from CPS energy revenue, and that goes to streets and sidewalks and public safety and a lot of core city services. So to think that that could be affected in some way, that gives me some concern.
Pre-K for SA, that could also be on the November ballot. It would be re-upping the quarter, was an eighth of a cent sales tax for another 20 years for pre-K for SA. Where are you on that?
So 20 years is too long for me. I think to sign the citizens of San Antonio up for this tax for 20 years, I mean, we don't even know what education is going to look like 20 years from now. And so to say that we're going to do that and not have off-ramps along the way, not have KPIs, you know, to make sure that the program is meeting certain expectations and just give it 20 more years. Look, I am all for pre-K education. I think there's certainly been a lot of good things about this pre-K for SA program. I've been happy to support it and push pre-K education along. I think it's just really, really important. But I don't like the idea of signing us all up for 20 more years.
Okay, we're almost out of time here, but Ready for Work, Mayor Jones has pulled back on her proposition to rededicate those funds that would require a public vote. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm glad that the mayor decided to think twice about having council go and vote on this. Look, I've been very clear on Ready to Work. There's no other way to put it. This program has really been a failure. We have spent so much money here. It does look like it's starting to pick up some, which is good. Could we repurpose some of this money for and get more of a return on investment for our citizens? Maybe that's why the proposal interested me. But you can't just say we're going to move all the money and have no plan on what to do with it. So we'll see in further conversations where we go.
All right, District 10, City Councilmember Mark White, thanks for coming to the studio, taking calls from listeners, and we look forward to seeing tomorrow when the new city budget comes out from the city manager, what's going to be there. A lot of, I'm sure, some eyebrow raising, chin stroking ideas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.